morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. That was loud. And I'm excited to have you all here and join with one another in the singing of some hymns. And I would like to start out our morning with I Love to Tell the Story. That's number 156. And we're going to have us a helper singing as well. 156. Verses 1 and 4.
151.
156.
156.
1 and 4. Which day of verses? 1 and 4.
Okay. 156.
Okay.
1 and 4. Thank you.
I love to tell the story.
Okay. 1 and 2.
Three eighty.
380.
One and five.
One and five of 380.
One and five. Thank you. And the verses you choose? One and three of Because He Lives, number 364. Like a little music to set our hearts in the right place.
That was a good idea of whomever's that idea was to have the hymn sing in the beginning. I loved it. You know, it was my idea to actually have like an hour's worth of hymn singing, but I could never get anybody on the admin council to go along with that. I don't know what the problem was. Anyway, I'm happy with the 15 minutes or 10 minutes that we get. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Anyway, once again, I would like to welcome you all to the House of Faith, United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. I've jumped the gun. I'm seeing our pianist here looking at me so forlornly saying, but don't I get a chance this morning? And yes, you did. Colleen, you're going to have the floor now. I'm pleased to have with us this morning our pianist, Colleen Dolinsky. Thank you very much. Beautiful, Colleen. Thank you very much. And now I will continue with some of our announcements that we have this morning. I've welcomed you, and don't forget that we want to go across the walkway to our social hall for gathering, coffee, tea, and oftentimes, people bring fresh vegetables to share, so that's been wonderful. Those tomatoes last time were just absolutely out of this world. Also, if you will sign in on your pew pad, or excuse me, there's a pad in front of the chairs, and it's a 3x5 about card. So if you would register your attendance on that, we would appreciate it. It is also a card that nicely fits to hold any prayer requests that you might have. So that can be placed in the little basket at the end of a pew, or if you forget to turn it into that little one, you can put it into the offering plate as you leave. Both work well. And again, please join us across the breezeway for a refreshment. And you should have, if you are online, have gotten your friendly visitor via email. If not, the newsletter is available in the narthex. I saw several people pick those up this morning. Has some great information in it this month, so please don't forget to read that information and look at the calendar and see what's happening. And this is August 2nd, in case anybody had forgotten. And so this is the first time that we're seeing all these August birthdays. My goodness, look at them all. Whoa. So you can see the names there. We have Debbie Wilson, Ray Wilson III, Karen Colby, Dale Barwick, Judy Lloyd, Joanne Dierley, Ron Pitzenberger, Larry Stiff, Kelly Wilson, Katie Mickle, Steve Dierley, Susan Elmore, Lori Pertile, Jack Kelsey, and Mark Cherrill. You're all a year older this month. Or a year younger. Well, they're not a year younger. You're not a year younger. I don't care what our pastor says. Do we want to sing a birthday to him this time? All right. We have several of the birthday persons here.
And we have Jack, Mark.
Mark and, so why don't you, Judy, stand up. Jack, stand up. Mark, stand up so we can put a name with a face.
Susan.
And Susan's here too.
Jack, yes.
Good, there's four of you that are here today. Perfect.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And you're all looking mighty fine for not being a year younger. That's great. And we have anniversaries this month. The Pastillis aren't here, but we have Perry and Linda King, Steve and Ann Mickle, and Mike and Carol Pastilli are all celebrating another happy anniversary this month. So when you see them, give them good tidings. And as we've said before, don't let your giving go on vacation. You enjoy your vacation, but please remember that our church still has its ongoing expenses, whether you make it to church or here for the month or not. We still have those expenses, and we so appreciate and are blessed by all the members that we have that giving is important to them. So thank you for that. Please give faithfully. The Good Samaritan plate is out this week. Typically, the first Sunday of the month is our Good Samaritan month. So the collections that are given into that plate are utilized for those less unfortunate with food. And so that giving is important to us. And we have a pastor's luncheon that's coming up on the 12th of August, and that is at noon. Our price is still $15. Thank you very much for working that out, Pastor. And you can sign up at the script table over in the fellowship hall for that luncheon, August 12th. And that's going to bring us to... Oh, pretty picture of all that lovely food. It's coming, bringing us to our call to worship. So if you'll please stand if you are able. And we will begin our worship service. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with a steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
And now we'll continue with the Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, hymn number 57. Still standing, it's time to pass the peace, and so we'll do just that. All right. Get mine. I just don't like the book. And now we're going to have an opportunity for us to share our joys and concerns. Deb has the mic, and if you have a joy or concern, you'll be able to raise your hands. I think Pastor would like to tell us who's watching.
Yeah, we will not forget those faithful worshipers on Zoom.
Can you admit whoever's on iPad, David?
First time, yep. On Zoom. So, Erica, welcome. And good morning to you, Kenny. And is our Destiny still here?
Yeah, she goes back in about a week, I think.
Great. Good morning to you, Alicia and Destiny, and April and Bill with us, as always. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning.
Yes, that's lovely. April. Good morning to you, David, down in heaven. And the one on iPad, good morning to you. And also, good morning to Carol and Mike.
And Christine.
And Chris. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Welcome.
I'd like to start off by saying that we had a really good group to watch Cabrini yesterday. And if you missed it, you missed a really good movie. It was pretty awesome. So I have the DVD on Blu-ray if anybody would like to borrow it. And I've already got the first one queued up. So you should watch it. It's excellent. I'd also like to ask for prayers for Amy Bonson's family. Their son Eric was in Thailand teaching English. He had already done a year in China and loved it. He wasn't as happy in Thailand, and he died a week ago. And we don't know why yet or what the details are. And the family would like privacy, but they might like a card. And please pray for them. It's hard. Amy Bonson, that used to work here, and her son Eric.
Yes, please pray for my daughter and son-in-law and my grandson, Ethan. They're trying to decide where to send him to school. He's doing okay, but he was adopted. And he has some unique, I would say, needs. And so they're looking into other possibilities. It's a huge decision. So pray for Ethan and his education decision.
I just wanted to let you all know my grandkids, Sarah and Reagan, went on another mission trip. Only this time it was through their church. So they went together this time. And they went to New Mexico and worked on a school there in one of the Indian reservations. And they did a lot of painting, some cement work, and some cleanup work. And then they cleaned up their cemetery for them. That's important to those people. So, you know, I'm just proud of them because they take every opportunity through their church or through their school to serve. And so I think that's a great thing, and I'm happy for them. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah's 15 and Reagan's 19. He'll be leaving for school on the 16th to go to Pennsylvania. Kills me, but he's going.
I just want to thank you again, Deb, for that incredible movie. I think everyone should watch the movie because even though it happened in the 1890s and early 1900s, it applies for today. And I was moved beyond belief, so I encourage you to watch the movie.
Yes, you all must start watching Deb's movies. I really enjoyed that movie. It touched my heart in many ways that I didn't expect. And I also want to put a prayer out for Lewis, a friend of a friend. And he fell down and broke some fractures in his neck and his lower back. And also for her friend Megan had a tonsillectomy on Wednesday, and this morning she woke up with blood in her throat. So those two people, Lewis and Megan, thank you.
I'm going to second this about that movie. That was fantastic. And lots of you come because the pizza and the hot dogs are really good. Last week, Susan reminded us to remember our firefighters and all those people who are fighting fires everywhere around the world at this point. I'd like to include with that the people I consider to be the true first responders, and those are dispatchers, because they will work 12, 14-hour shifts if they have to. and also all law enforcement, because I had a lot of law enforcement students in for fires, major fires. They got called out. They were directing traffic. They were helping evacuate people. And it's like, yeah, the firefighters and, you know, that's the glamorous part, right? No, it's not. But all of these people come together from so many different areas. So please remember all of them, because they are all very close to being, not maybe being, they are in danger. And a lot of people are not real cooperative on evacuations and stuff. So it can get hazardous without the major hazard of the fire. I'll just put it that way. So please remember all of them.
Well, mine is different. I have a praise report. My sister went through her surgery, and she's not going to have chemo or anything.
That's wonderful.
That's a huge blessing.
Good morning. My name is Pat Shores. I wanted to say that the movie yesterday was really wonderful. I hope Deb will show it again, because there were many people who didn't get to go, and I would like to go again. The other thing is, generally on the weekend, I get to go down and see my great nieces, and we got to do that yesterday, and they get cuter every single week, so it's so fun to go and play with them.
A praise report. This is my third time here, my second time in person. The day after I came on last Sunday, Monday I was housed. I found a room to rent, so I'm no longer homeless. After walking with Jesus, he guided me, and I put my trust and faith in him, and I was safe and now no longer homeless. So thank you for that. And thank you for Deb's help and your guys' help.
We're glad you're here.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. All the time.
And I see you have your pet with you, too.
Yes, this is Gunner. Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and we'll let you unmute.
And now is time for our unison prayer. If you'll please join me. Dear Lord Jesus, grant us wisdom to acknowledge our weakness and faith to rely on your power. By your command, closed doors are opened wide before us. Your touch heals broken spirits. There is no problem too great for you to solve. It is not that your hand is too short to save us, but that we linger in calling upon you. We can draw close to you, for you are always near. May we readily kneel before you and entrust every matter of unrest to your care. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. We have heard many prayer requests, but we also have many prayers for ourselves and for those whom God has placed in our life circle. So let's continue on our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we have come to this beautiful place of worship because we know you are with us. You are the living God. With you in our life, we can face all the problems we have. You have sustained us. You have guided us. You have blessed us. You have led us this far. And we have so many testimonies to share with others so that people may hear that you are deeply involved in our lives and we are never alone walking on this life journey. You are always with us. You know our need, the big ones and little tiny ones all together. And we can bring our prayers unto you, believing that you listen to our prayers and you answer our prayers very faithfully. Sometimes your answer may take longer, but that doesn't mean that our prayer is not answered, but it's just that you are waiting for the right timing. So, Lord, we are here recognizing your presence in our lives, recognizing all the answers to our prayers that you have given unto us, and we celebrate our life in you. We may have a lot of needs, but our needs have been met in the past, and we know that our needs today will be met. So thank you. We thank you and praise you. We ask your Holy Spirit to come upon us once more, fill this place of worship, fill our hearts, fill our lives, and even reach out to those loved ones that you have placed in our life circle. Touch them, O Lord, and let them know that you are there with them. So as we know your presence in our life, we celebrate together and we praise you, O Lord, for the blessings that you have prepared for us this morning. Speak unto us once more. Touch us once more that we may be strengthened and we may be healed, that we may receive empowerment and encouragement from your presence. So, Lord, our hearts are open unto you so that your Holy Spirit may come into our hearts and into our lives and manifest your power once more. We know that you are our sovereign God. You are our sustainer. You are our Savior. So we yield to you, O Lord. We give all the cares we have in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray that you use us to glorify your name. You use us to share the good news of Jesus to those people that we see in our life. You continue to fulfill your will, O Lord. So we yield to your will, praying that your will be fulfilled upon our lives, upon this church, upon our communities, upon this nation and the world today. So we now join our prayers, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we are going to sing together with the accompaniment of our pastor, For Those Tears I Died, and the words will be on the screen, and the music and words are both in your our inserts today. And the instrument has been tuned in all respects.
I did not know that Susan has so sensitive ear. She helped me
tune this guitar, so it should sound a lot better than I can play. Thank you. I learned this song as a teenager, and during those teenage years, I had a life-changing experience, and I've been singing this one with you, if you remember, once every summer, and this is the time that we sing. And it has a lot of messages in it that still touches my heart, and I pray that it touches your heart as well. You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great, I can't understand. And dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. But your love's my chain, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know now without God I never be whole. Savior, you open all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth humble shore. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.
it won't be so long until the next time.
Wait another year.
We just get it down in the third verse, and then there is no more. That brings us to our scripture reading today. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, and that's going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I read, "One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Susan, you forgot to introduce me.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you did. You know, at one point in time when I introduced our pastor, I thought, oh, golly, why am I doing that? Everybody should know him. But, you know, every once in a while, we do have somebody new in our sanctuary who does not know who our pastor is. So it does give me great honor and privilege to sit, to be in the sanctuary with him. And so I am pleased for another year, and this is also exciting to hear. I think he told us this before, but he is going to be our pastor for the next year. Yes, and here, here. Gunnar's excited also. And so, without further ado, I give us Pastor Phillips for his communion message, The Hour of Prayer.
Susan, you may want to take over the whole thing. No, I mean, she did, like, before, she introduced me again, including my name, as if I'm new here. So thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad to see you all here. If you have forgotten, because I was up last Sunday, my name is Phillips. And you know what the name means? It means horse lover. Philip or Phillips or, you know, with a 1L or 2Ls, doesn't matter. It means horse lover. And I don't love horses. But that's the Bible name that this a missionary from Minnesota, when I was in college, gave me. And that's the name that I use. And that's my legal name. I pray that the movement of the Holy Spirit will come and visit us individually, and he touches our heart, touches our soul and body, that we may be strengthened by the word that God has prepared for all of us. Just before a presidential election, an independent candidate was getting nervous about his chances. He knew he had a plan to fix everything, education, healthcare, the economy, taxes, but nobody seemed to notice him. He told his team, "We need big, bold signs, booming speakers, and music so loud it'll wake the founding fathers." After spending on banners and renting amplifiers, they realized they only had $200 left. The candidate remarked, "Well, let's rent a truck to carry all this stuff. It'll make us look official." So with their last $200, they rented a truck, plastered it with signs, piled it in the speakers, and cruised through a tiny Idaho town, blasting campaign tunes and waving at everyone, including confused cows. The candidate gave it his all until election day. When the result came in, history was made. Independents swept the presidency and nearly every seat in the government. The new president burst into campaign headquarters, grinning from ear to ear, and declared, "See, I told you. Next campaign, let's just skip the speeches and get two trucks." There are many ways to get people's attention. I once heard about a woman who wore a bright red short skirt during a campaign, drew plenty of attention, and was elected to an illustrious position. And this is a true story. In contrast, the disabled man in the scripture didn't have to make any effort to attract notice. His physical condition, present since birth, naturally drew people's eyes. He chose to sit at the gate of the Jerusalem temple, a place bustling with foot traffic. This combination, his condition and his strategic location, helped sustain his life. But did this mean he had a good life? Consider the name of the gate. The name of the gate was Beautiful. I mean, it gotta be a really beautiful gate. That's why they call it so. It is an ironic contrast to his situation. Though his basic needs were met, few would describe his existence as beautiful. As we reflect on the scripture this morning, let's think about what it truly means to live a beautiful life. To appreciate just how beautiful the gate was, we first need to look at the history of the Jerusalem temple, the place where Peter and John went to pray. The original temple, built by Solomon in 967 BC, stood in splendor for four centuries. However, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded Israel and destroyed this magnificent structure. Decades later, in 538 BC, Cyrus the Great of Persia permitted the Jewish exiles in Babylon to return home and rebuild Jerusalem and its temple. By 516 BC, during the reign of King Darius of Persia, exactly 70 years after its destruction, just as the prophets had foretold, the temple was rebuilt and rededicated. Unfortunately, it never gained the original grandeur of Solomon's temple. Another five centuries passed, during which Israel's sovereignty was gone, long gone. The land was ruled by Babylonians and Persians, and then Romans later on. There was a brief period of the Hasmonean kingdom in Judea, ruled by Jews, but it was not the fully restored kingdom of Israel. We can imagine the condition of the first temple that had been deteriorating for about five centuries.
Around 20 BC, King Herod undertook a massive rebuilding of the Second Temple, hoping to win political favor with the people. King Herod, as we know, was notorious for his cruelty, ordering the massacre of innocent children after Jesus was born, as well as killing political rivals and even respected rabbis. The temple project was part of his attempt to soften his ruthless image. The Gospels offer a glimpse of the Herod's temple's splendor and history. In John 2, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus visited the temple and cleansed it, declaring, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." The people responded that the temple had been under construction for 46 years. It's written in the Gospel of John. 46 years, suggesting that while the main structure was finished, expansion and embellishment continued. In Luke 21, people marveled at the temple, noting its beautiful stones and the gift dedicated to God. Historical records show that the entire temple complex, including its courtyard, was finally completed around AD 63 or AD 64. Sadly, just a few years later in AD 70, the Romans destroyed Herod's magnificent temple. So it's like Herod began the rebuilding the second temple in 20 BC and then was completed around 63 or 64 AD, right? So when Peter and John went to the temple to pray, it was that magnificent Herod's temple that was almost completed. And that's how we can say the beautiful gate that the scripture described today was really beautifully adorned and decorated gate. When Peter and John went to the temple to pray, it was around 35 AD, shortly after the Ascension and the Pentecost. So much of the construction had been completed, and we can relate the beautiful gate to the process of the temple construction. According to the InterVarsity Press Bible background commentary, the beautiful gate was probably a popular title for the Nicanor Gate, named for its Alexandrian donor. The main and largest gate, made of the most expensive bronze, it was in the court of the women on the east, facing the gate of the sanctuary, and must have been especially beautiful in the light of the rising sun. Not only the gate was, you know, beautifully decorated and made, when the sun rises from the east, it shone on it, made the gate even more beautiful. So there was a reason that people called the gate beautiful. Situated above 15 steps, beyond which neither women nor the maimed and unclean could pass, it may have hosted beggars on its steps who could appeal to those going to the court of Israel. They couldn't, those, you know, disabled people and the women couldn't go beyond the gate. So that was the area that they would hang out. Now picture the beggars sitting each day at the beautiful gate. His surroundings were elegant, filled with people dressed neatly to honor the temple and the god they worship. Yet the lame always felt like an outsider. He did not belong to their world. Then something truly beautiful happened to him. A Peter, devout man of God, prayed for him and healed him, giving him the ability to walk and freeing him from a life of begging. Until this miraculous transformation, the beggar believed that money would bring him satisfaction, but it was never enough. Day after day, he begged, always hoping for more. Isn't this a story we see all around us? So many people walk tirelessly to earn money, yet true satisfaction always seems out of reach. There remains a constant hunger and thirst for something more. Meanwhile, standing before the beggar were Peter and John. They had no silver or gold to give, but they offered something far more essential. Right there at the beautiful gate, the man walked for the first time since birth, a moment of true transformation and beauty. Where did this power to change the man's life come from? It flowed from their life of prayer. They were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and that indicates they were dedicated to the life of prayer. Can prayer truly make life beautiful? Absolutely, it can. What kind of prayer life are we talking about here? In Scripture, the hour of prayer refers to a fixed time set aside for prayer. Traditionally, Jewish practice includes three such fixed hours, as seen in the book of Acts. For example, in Acts 2, you know the time that the Holy Spirit came down upon them was the morning prayer. Because, you know, after the Holy Spirit came down, people say, oh, they were drunken. And Peter explained to them, you know, they are not drunken all in the morning. It's only 9 o'clock, right? That was the time of prayer. They gathered together to pray at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that's when the Holy Spirit came. In Jewish hour, that's the third hour. And then in Acts 10, Peter went up to the rooftop to pray at the sixth hour, that is the noontime. And today's passage, Peter visited the temple to pray at the ninth hour, and in our translation, that's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They had a three times fixed time to pray. However, praying three times a day is not just about these specific moments. It points to a continual connection with God throughout the day. This practice reflects the idea of unceasing prayer. How do we pray unceasingly and maintain a constant connection to God is the question we want to ask. We do this by opening our hearts and spirit completely, so we are always in conversation with God and even in our thoughts. When our entire being is open to God, we can communicate with Him anytime, anywhere, while walking, or simply going about our day. Every thought becomes a prayer offered to God. Our desire becomes prayers, and even our breath is a prayer. When we fully commit ourselves to a life of prayer, our needs are met and our lives are transformed. As a result, we naturally share what we have with others, enriching their lives as well, just as Peter did for the lame man. Let me share with you a story of prayer that transformed a man who powerfully influenced the Christian faith for over 1,500 years and is still ongoing. You know who that is? Monica, devoted to a life of prayer, was the mother of whose prayer changed the course of her son's life, Saint Augustine of Hippo. Augustine's influence on the church cannot be overstated. He formulated foundational doctrines such as original sin, salvation by grace alone, and the Trinity. You know, we know that Martin Luther, the Reformation, you know, who started the Reformation, said sola gratia, that's a saved by grace alone. That wasn't his idea. Long before, like more than a millennia before, Augustine came with that, interpreted that scripture correctly. And of course, we know about the original sin and the Trinity. We are Trinitarian. Born in 354 AD in Numidia, in what is now northeastern Algeria, North Africa, Augustine grew up with a devout Christian mother, Monica, and a pagan father, Patricius, who embraced Christianity only on his deathbed. In his confession, that's the book that Augustine wrote, Monica was one of the most influential people in his life. She sang hymns and prayed fervently for his faith as he grew. Yet despite her effort, Augustine was rebellious and wayward. He had a concubine at age 17 and was drawn to pagan belief. Monica suffered deeply as she watched her son stray from God. But Monica firmly believed that God would transform her son and kept on praying for him. Reflecting on his mother's prayer, Augustine wrote in his book, Confession, he said, "You sent your hand from above and raised my soul out of that depth of darkness because of my mother, your faithful one, wept to you for me more bitterly than mothers weep for the bodily death of their children." Monica prayed every morning and evening at church with unwavering devotion. In 386, at the age of 31, Augustine experienced a turning point in a garden in Milan, Italy. Overcome by his inability to change, he wept bitterly. Suddenly, he heard a child voice chanting from nearby house, "Tolle lege, tolle lege." That means, "Take up and read." That's the child saying. And then so Augustine picked up the Bible and then opened it, which was open to Romans 13 through 14, which read, "Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desire of the flesh." That completely changed Augustine. Monica's prayers were finally answered as Augustine converted to Christianity. Sadly, Monica passed away soon after, never witnessing her son become a priest, then bishop of Hippo, or realizing the theological legacy he would leave for centuries. She was canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church and is renowned for her persistent prayer and patience. The city of Santa Monica, we have in California, is named in her honor. Monica stands among the greatest women of faith in Christian history, her prayer shaping not only Augustine, but the church itself. In my personal opinion, after Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, probably Monica would be the greatest female Christian since then until today, because of a prayer who transformed Augustine, her son. Reflecting on God's word this morning, we see that Monica truly lived a beautiful life through her prayer. The greatest thing we can do is to share Jesus with others. And the next most beautiful act is to pray for them. Let us open our heart, mind, soul, and spirit to God, devoting ourselves fully to a life of prayer. When we do this, our lives are transformed into something truly beautiful. Amen. Let us now prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy. And those of you at home, you can grab a piece of bread and drink so that you can participate in this Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union Christ offering for us. We proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we partake in this broken piece of bread, let us remember the body of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved us and broke his body for our salvation. As we partake in drinking from the cup that Jesus has prepared by himself with his own blood, let us remember as he shed his blood to the very last drop. His blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. So let us, with the gratitude and thanksgiving, take the bread and drink from the cup. Thank you.
It is not now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings, and you are encouraged to place your offering into the plate at the back, or you can mail them into the church office. And we are blessed this morning with the voice of Austin Barrett, who is going to sing, "He Touched Me."
Dear Lord Jesus, we see so many blessings pour down onto us from you. We see your presence living within us. We see the work of the Holy Spirit touching us, empowering us, recognizing all you have done, recognizing your presence. We give you this thanksgiving and ask you to bless it, use it for your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now we can join in singing Sweet Hour of Prayer, verses 1 through 3.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that called me from a world of care, and bees me at my
my Father throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In season of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and of escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Let us pray. Teach us to pray, O Lord. Empower us to pray that we may bring every care we have into your mighty hand. We ask your empowerment of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, upon each and every one of the loved ones that you place in our lives, upon this church and all the churches and all the believers, so that we may join together praying for your kingdom to come upon this earth. So, Lord, bless all your churches and believers, including each and every one of us, with the power of prayer, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, faith, and in love. Amen.